Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
God, God of my righteousness, you are my righteous God. From you flow mercy, grace, might, and strength. In you exists all I need to live in abundant joy. Your righteousness brings about the beauty we see in one another, the acts of kindness, the moments of intimacy and pure love. None of these are possible apart from you, because goodness and righteousness stem from the core of who you are. I would not know love if it were not for you. So I praise you and honor you for who you truly are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater.
and unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Worthy of our praise. Begin to worship his name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before thee, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
Amen. Praise be to God. God of my righteousness, I confess my unrighteousness to you and acknowledge the guilt of my sin. Where I have wronged others, forgive me. Where I have failed to promote you as King, Lord, and Savior, have mercy on me. Where I have chosen my own desires over yours, grant compassion and guidance to show me the better way. Forgive the pain I have caused others and help me to forgive me as well. Help me to mend my broken relationships. Make me a vessel of your righteousness, grace, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
And answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
your glorious love is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I trust.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time. What is this? It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, praise be to God. No, we're not in. To God be the glory, which is entitled On the Altar. Praise be to God. The scripture reading for this message is coming from Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, and it says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and offer him. Amen. Praise God. The writer says, this was the first time the word love was used in scripture. When the Lord asked Abraham to offer Isaac, if you recall, Abraham was 100 years old when God gave him a son so he could become a great nation in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. But Isaac wasn't just the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham. He loved his son. So to sacrifice Isaac must have been excruciating. We tend to think that telling God how much we love something will force him to do as we wish. But often, what we're really saying to him is, if you take this away or refuse to give it to me, I won't believe in you anymore. We are actually betraying that what we want is more important to us than he is. That is why the Lord will say, I'm making sure that nothing stands in the way of you placing your full trust in me. For Abraham, that meant putting both Isaac and the promise on that altar. But for you, that means That may mean submitting your own desires in order to do God's will. It's difficult, friend, but worthwhile, because just as he honored Abraham's obedience and provided for both him and Isaac, he will do so for you, above and beyond what you can imagine. Jesus, I completely surrender. I trust you to provide. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. And again, the title was On the Altar. Praise be to God. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen? And you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. At this time, I will play another selection.
Gangster faith. Gangster faith means God's absolute noble glorious salvation to all families anywhere, including the heathen. Now that's gangster. Now that's gangster. I got the gangster faith. I went from being a sinner to a backslide, a covenant, breaking dickens and money, guns, cushions, violence, probably facing the patient. On a regular basis, sticky situation, plot led to evil meditation. 14, face incarceration, daddy never on the scene. Only heaven knows why he abandoned his offspring. To my hope, he dealt a death blow, and it seemed like the answer to my dreams. Only a gangster note. Now I'm feeling trapped, facing difficult times, trying to cope. As I inhale the crisp smoke, I doubt I know. A few can know, I seem to be possessed by evil spirits, plotting bad deeds. We are the dead target. The devil seeks to plant his evil seed. Our Christian faith is the only promise of liberty. So I look before the Trinity and vow days worldwide. Checkmate. I call it gangster faith. Prepare my tables in the presence of my enemies. Gangster faith. I hold up the bloodstained banner until I'm 6 feet. I got the gangster faith. I seek to tell the world who Christ made free is free indeed. I got the gangster faith. God, the Holy Ghost, will protect me indeed. A worldwide checkmate. I call it gangster faith. No more violent I became, no more street power I came. The west side gangster taught me the game. Get in, get in, get out before you slip in it and you die in vain. I didn't listen, multi-gunshot stripped through my flesh and vein. I know mama prayer was working, I survived. And I know I spread the gospel truth as long as I'm alive. I'ma walk my talk like a righteous man that's faith do. So let him judge me, no man can see heaven's whole purpose for my life. I know God still love me, for God still love the world. He gave his only begotten son, so to my last breath I'ma do to Christ what the world thought could never be done. Take back the tired music industry and shut down these rap commercial masquerades and reveal these fakes. I'm not ashamed to holler worldwide checkmate. Gangsta faith, prepare my tables in the presence of my enemies. Gangsta faith, I hold up the bloodstained banner until I'm 6 feet. I got the gangsta faith, I'm fit to tell the world who Christ made free, free indeed. I got the gangsta faith, God the Holy Ghost will protect me indeed. A worldwide checkmate, I call it gangsta faith. Before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I got the gangster faith. I'm still to spread the truth. God, the Holy Ghost, will make enemies my footstool. I got the gangster faith. The definition of gangster faith is Holy Ghost discipleship within the heart. And you stand totally unafraid and with no fear, representing Christ the High. And you know, like I know, real saints don't die. We fall asleep in Christ, then we fly. Raise your hand if you bout to ride. Pull your last breath for the Most High. Cause real saints don't die. We fall asleep in Christ, then we fly. It's called spiritual resurrection. Don't let me take flight. First class of role of pure righteousness. Representing God's glory shining bright. And we ascend beyond the clouds to meet Christ in the sky. It was the presence of the Jesus that watched the Gentile like me. Christ represents and God the Holy Ghost anointed me from my head to my feet. That's why I stand bold like Christ in your presence now. My face has seen Jericho walls falling down. All around the music industry. Christ stretches love for all who defy. Gospel rap, a multi-billion dollar kingdom franchise. I'm sent to possess the gates of the enemy. Call it gangster faith. Cause I believe in you.
Amen. And now it is time for our daily bread, which is entitled, For the Sake of the Gospel. And the scripture reading for this message, excuse me, is coming from Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Amen? That's Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says, as for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. Excuse me. Wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. similarly teach the older women to live in a way that honor God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their own homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can be criticized. Verse 8, teach the truth so that your teaching cannot be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Slaves must always obey their master and do their best to please them. They must not talk back. Verse 10. Or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive in every way. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from Titus chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. The writer says, the year was 1916, and Nelson had just graduated from medical school in his native Virginia. Later that year, he and his bride of 6 months arrived in China. At the age of 22, he became a surgeon at Love and Mercy Hospital, the only hospital in an area of at least 2 million Chinese residents. Nelson, together with his family, lived in the area for 24 more years, running the hospital, performing surgeries, and shopping the gospel with thousands of people, sharing the gospel with thousands of people. From once being called foreign devil by those who distrusted foreigners, Nelson Bell later became known as the Bell who is lover of the Chinese people. His daughter Ruth was to later marry the evangelist Billy Graham. Although Nelson was a brilliant surgeon and Bible teacher, it wasn't his skills that drew many to Jesus. It was his character and the way he lived out the gospel. In Paul's letter to Titus, the young Gentile leader who was taking care of the church in Crete, the apostle said that living like Christ is crucial because it can make the gospel attractive, Titus 2 and 10. Yet, we don't do this on our own strength. God's grace helps us live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives, verse 12. Reflecting the truth of our faith, verse 1. Many people around us still don't know the good news of Christ, but they know us. May he help us reflect and reveal his message in an attractive way. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. What can you learn from people whose life seems to draw others to the gospel? What things can you do or stop doing to make the gospel attractive to others? Think about those questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, help me to be a good representative of the gospel. Help me to draw others to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread for this evening. To God be the glory. And at this time, I will play another selection.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Righteousness. Thank you for the beauty of your righteousness. Thank you for the power of your righteousness. Thank you for the mercy you hold in tandem with your righteousness. I am grateful for your righteousness, which leads me in the path that I should follow. As I walk through valleys and trials, your righteousness guides me. Our nation is stumbling due to greed, irresponsibility, and other sins. And we need your righteousness in our hearts to restore us. Thank you for making your righteousness and wisdom available to all through your Spirit and your Word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now, as we are getting ready to, as I am getting ready to preach the word this evening, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, this is simple. We're gonna have a church. When I look back on my life, and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about His goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God.
Sustaining me.
You see, and no matter what. is all over me.
Sustains me.
Some our humble cry.
Hear my heart cry.
Desperately wait.
Desperately wait.
Just to be where you are.
Be where you are.
Somebody just say, I cross the hardest day.
Cross the hardest day.
Travel near or far.
Travel near or far.
For your glory.
Another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are
Amen. For your glory, God, I want to be where you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, it is time for the word. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And it says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. During the 40th day after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. You see, these verses describe a series of ever-widening circles. The good news was to spread geographically from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria, and finally to the ends of the earth. It would be with the devout Jews in Jerusalem and Samaria, spread to the mixed race in Samaria, and finally be offered to Gentiles all over the world. God's good news has not reached its final destination. If someone in your family, your workplace, your school, or your community has not heard the good news about Jesus Christ, make sure that you are contributing in some way to the ever-widening circle of God's loving message. Amen? Praise God. The books of Acts record the thrilling story of the growth and victories of the church triumphant. From a handful of 120 members in chapter 1, the infant church grew to 3,000 in chapter 2. By chapter 4, the church exploded to more than 5,000. In the face of persecution and martyrdom, the church in Acts continued to march on like a mighty army. The church arch enemy, Saul of Tarsus, was conquered by the grace of God and became its greatest advocate. On 3 missionary journeys, this convert to the Christian faith established churches from one end of the Roman Empire to the other. For 15 years, it seems that wherever Paul placed his foot, a New Testament church sprang up. Antioch, Ephesus, Philippi, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and even Rome. The church triumphant is the theme that echoes throughout the 28th chapter of Acts. This is the theme the church today needs to hear. That is, might be challenged to become the church triumphant in our time. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we love and honor you. You have continually reached down to us. We thank you that in your wisdom, you have chosen to make of your family, the church, triumphant. For the glowing record of its growth in Acts, we thank you. May we today continue to be the church triumphant until that day when your Son shall come to claim us. In his name we pray. Now, Lord God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Acts 1 and 8. And it says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen, amen, and amen. And my title for this message is The Church Triumphant. Tonight, my message is divided into four parts. Amen. Number one is the purpose of the church triumphant. Christ knew that for the church to become the church triumphant, its marching orders must be clear, its purpose spelled out in a manner that no one could understand. And so he said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 1 and 8. The marching orders are clear. The purpose of the church is without question. Ye shall be witnesses. Amen. The secret of witnessing, ye in Acts 8, 1 and 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Power is never obtained when pursued for itself. Power always goes with a commission. It came to the disciples at Pentecost. It comes to anyone whenever he or she squarely faces an undertaking. Churches often pray, O Lord, give us power, and forget that an essential part of the answer is in their own hands. That answer is to tackle something definitive for which they need power. Amen? The subject of witnessing. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Acts 1 and 8. Throughout Acts, the person of Christ is central. Christ is the heart of the good news for a non-Christian world. Each person must encounter the living Christ. Amen? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The atmosphere of witnessing in Acts 1 and 8 in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. In Acts, turn with me. No mind. Okay, I see it here. In Acts 12, 1 through 3, the persecution of the church triumphant. Persecution from outside the church. In Acts 12 and 1, in the NIV says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. There is nothing noble about this statement. The Herods of the world have always hated the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ungodly monster who was the grandfather of this Herod, that Herod had sought to destroy the infant Jesus, and now his worthy descendants sought to destroy the infant church. Thus right from the very beginning, the church learned to cope with opposition and antagonism. The church learned not to fear greatly, no matter how strong the mighty Herod looked on his throne and how little and insignificant the church seemed to be. But because the Christians learned that there was a power on their side, fighting in them and through them. They knew they could conquer the mighty Herods. But notice the rest of this story in Acts 12:23. Amen? So turn with me to Acts 12:23. 12. Okay. So Acts 12. Acts 12:23-24 says, instantly an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness, because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread, and there were many new believers. Praise God. So Herod died a horrible death, accompanied by intense pain. He was literally eaten alive from the inside out by worms. Pride is a serious sin, and in this case, God chose to punish it immediately. God does not immediately punish all sins, but he will judge everyone. Hebrews 9:27, accept Christ's offer of forgiveness today. No one can afford to wait. Amen. Praise be to God. Persecution from hypocritical Christians. Certain earnestness souls have apparently become convinced that the church is so encrusted with evil and so entangled with the world that it faces perilous times and is doomed to failure. They have ceased to hope. They have ceased to work. And it seems that they have ceased to pray that the church of Jesus Christ will become the church triumphant. They have been so deceived that they believe there is nothing left to do but get outside the church and throw rocks at it. They feel that they must find some other institution or start an institution of their own to carry on the work of God. But separating Christianity from the church is an impossibility. Such a concept never existed in the minds of the early Christians. For in Acts 2:47 says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be, were being saved. Praise be to God. The perplexities of the church triumphant. As so often happens, when the church was growing and the future was full of promise, problems arose from within its own fellowship. And Acts 6:1 says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. This was only the beginning of the perplexities of the early church. On the first missionary journey, Mark deserted the party and returned home. Before the second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas had a falling out over Mark. Luke recorded in Acts 15 and 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Two things usually create all the problems a church ever experiences, and they are, one, programs, and two, people. A church with no program and no people would have no perplexity. The perplexity, because of his program, imagine being a member of that little church back there that launched the revival on the day of Pentecost. Suppose somebody had made a motion like this in the business meeting. I move that on the day of Pentecost, we launched a campaign to introduce the gospel of Christ to Jerusalem, and that our goal be 3,000 converts in one day. I further move that following this, we send out a missionary force that will affect the whole world. Amen. I can hear myself getting up and saying, now, brethren, I have a lot of faith, but there is no need in being presumptuous about this thing. I believe in the promise of God, and I think that in time we should give due consideration to carrying out God's great commission. But there is not any need for our being foolish enough to think that we can do a wild, impossible thing like that. Taking the gospel to the entire world, that's ridiculous. And I could have given a lot of reasons why we could not do it. More reasons than you can give today. That church did not have a ghost of a chance. Its whole program was wrong. The perplexity because of its people. They had 12 chapter members, all Galatians, obscured men, except one. Apparently, only one had any standing in his hometown. He was called the man of Kairos, maybe the Chamber of Commerce had elected him person of the year. But since he was such an outstanding man, they elected him treasurer. And you know, that scoundrel turned out to be a thief. The treasurer of the first church that ever existed turned out to be a thief. Now, with members like that, you cannot do much, can you? 1/12 of their membership, thieves and betrayers of the Lord. We have a better average than that. don't we? Now, the purpose of looking at the first century church in comparison with Christ's church today is this. I want to remind you that God has always had to do his work through weak and imperfect men and women. No hardship we have today are as great as those of that early church. Yet they invaded their entire world with the gospel. Before a generation had passed away, not a city of any importance in the Roman Empire had not been invaded by Christians and did not have its own church. How did they do it? How can we do it with such persecution and perplexities? How can the church experience victory and truly become the church triumphant? Let's see how victory came to the early church. For victory comes into the church today in exactly the same way. In Acts 4:2, the power of the church triumphant. In Acts 4:21, after Peter and John had preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, reports that in Acts 4:4, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. This result in Peter and John being arrested and asked by the Sanhedrin in Acts 4:7, by what power have ye done this? The question is still asked of the church triumphant today. What is the power of the church triumphant? The power of prayer. Luke said that for 10 days and nights before launching their crusade on Pentecost, the church prayed. That made the difference. They prayed 10 days and nights, preached 30 minutes, and had 3,000 saved. We do it differently today. We preach 10 days and nights, pray 30 minutes, and have 3 saved. We must place the emphasis where the early church placed it to experience the victories they experienced. The power of personal involvement. When they launched the campaign, doubting, Thomas, cursing Simon Peter, bad-tempered James and John, in spite of their weaknesses, were all there. Isn't that wonderful? The power of personal involvement is still required today. The power of unity. In Acts 2:1, they were all with one accord. That doesn't mean the members of the early church always agreed, but they did always love one another. They were united in Jesus Christ. Pagans would say, behold how those Christians love one another. The power of joyous optimism. The early church knew that in spite of their small numbers, in spite of their lack of money, in spite of all their personal limitations, they were going to win. And so they went out in joy, even in the midst of persecution. And that's the spirit in which we must win the victory today if we are going to continue to be the church triumphant. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Praise be to God. And they were earnest in asking about that which their master never had direct or encouraged them to seek. Our Lord knew that his ascension and teaching of the Holy Spirit would soon end these expectations and therefore only gave them a rebuke. But it is caution to his church in all ages to take heed of a desire of forbidden knowledge. He had given his disciples instructions for the discharge of their duty, both before his death and since his resurrection, and his knowledge is enough for a Christian. It is enough that he has engaged to give believers strength equal to their trials and service, that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they may, in one way or another, be witnesses for Christ on earth, while in heaven he managed their concerns with perfect wisdom, truth, and love. When we stand gazing and triffering the thoughts of our master's second coming should quicken and awaken us. When we stand gazing and trembling, they should comfort and encourage us. May our expectations of it be steadfast and joyful, giving diligence to be found of him blameless. Praise be to God. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, like a mighty army moves the church of God, brothers, we are trending where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was unto me. Onward, Christian soldiers. Again, the church triumphant. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your walk with the Lord. Amen. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude chapter 24, verse 24 and 25. And it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube for tuning in to an Instagram and Blog Talk Radio for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with another word from the Lord. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. We love you and thank you. And on that note, we are going to leave out on "All Belongs to You" by the Wiki Tones. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Shalom.
All the honor, all the glory belongs to you, belongs to you. All the worship, all the praise belongs to you. I can't help but want you.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.